If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, in Luke, the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, 15th chapter of the book of Luke. It's a familiar story. I'm sure you've heard it many times. There have been many messages preached on it. This evening, I'd like to speak for a while on the prodigal and his father. The prodigal and his father. Just before we read the Word of God, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege we have again this evening, that we can open your Word and we can share it together. We pray, O God, that you might take your Word now and use it, we pray, to speak to some soul or souls this evening. And that when we come to the end of this service, Lord, they might come rejoicing, acknowledging and accepting you as their personal Savior. We give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 15th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion or the share of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word this evening. I want us to look at this evening from two different points of view. And I want you to notice as we go through this, the regression of this young man. As he leaves his home, he arrives at a point, and then there is a point of progression. Instead of going downward, he goes upward. And in the midst of it all, there is a loving father. There is a loving father. Today being Father's Day, I was thinking yesterday and the night before on something to bring to you. And the Lord laid this passage of Scripture in my heart. And I think that as we read this father in this passage of Scripture is an excellent example for you and I as fathers to look at and pattern, as a matter of fact, ourselves after. And I want to go through this afternoon on the basis of a family relationship before we look at it from a spiritual relationship. The Bible says that this father had two sons, whom we believe without a doubt, as we study this and read through it, that he loved dearly. He provided for these two sons for the best possible ways, gave to them whatever their hearts desired. But one day, the scripture says, the younger son decides that he wants to leave home. And you know, we all do this at some time or the other. Sooner or later, we want to see the world. Sooner or later, we want to move on. We want to experience life, what is out there. We want to do it on our own. And when it happens, as parents, we are concerned, aren't we? We're concerned about our children, as to what may lie ahead, as to what may happen to them as they leave. Perhaps we shed a few tears. We hate to see them go, but recognize that it is a part of life. For many, they don't go far away. For others, they do. They go a long way off. But we care about them, don't we? And we care about them because we love them. Because they are ours. They are our children. And so it is in the case of this father and son. This son came to his father, it says the younger, he had the two. The youngest one came to the father in verse 12, and he asked his father to give him his inheritance. Give him that portion of the estate that belonged to him. Dad didn't complain. We read nowhere in this passage that his dad ever questioned what he was up to or where he was going and never argued with him. The scripture says that he divided it. He divided it equally, I'm sure, between the two brothers. And so what we have is, when it is divided, the young man goes to seek a new life. So he thought. And this is important. He goes to seek a new life, so he thought. Unfortunately, as happens so many times in so many of our lives, unfortunately, he got involved with the wrong people. He got himself involved with the wrong crowd. The scripture says in verse 13, that he wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted his substance with riotous living. You and I might say this evening, in our Bahamian language, he was having a ball. Perhaps he was. He was having a ball with the funds. We would assume that it was monetary value that his father gave to him, because the scripture says that he spent all that he had. He just spent all that his father had given him in riotous living, not considering tomorrow, not considering what the future may hold. He just joined the crowd, and because his pockets was full of money, he had a lot of friends. Isn't that strange? We see it happen all the time. You find someone that's got a lot of money that's willing to throw it around, and you see a lot of people around them. They have a whole lot of friends. He was living like there was no tomorrow. He was living like there was no tomorrow. No cares in life. Having a wonderful time. But verse 14 says there arose a mighty famine in that land. There arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. One morning he awoke and he realized that he had nothing. That's not a good state in life to be in, is it? He realized that he had nothing. Between he and his friends and their riotous living, he had wasted all that his father had given him. So he ends up with perhaps just the clothes on his back and the shoes on his feet. His friends had gone. He turned and they were not there. He had nothing. He had nowhere to live. He had nowhere to go. And so, in desperation, in verse 15 and 16, the scripture says, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, pigs, hogs, or whatever it may be. If he was a Jew, and the scripture doesn't say that he was, but we would assume so, that the Lord Jesus was talking about the Jewish, a Jewish person. If he was a Jew, this was one of the lowest states that he could possibly be in his life. Because the Jews have nothing to do with pigs or pork, per se. Absolutely nothing. So desperation sets in. You see, this is what happens. This is what happens when we go out in life and we get involved in the wrong things of life, get involved with the wrong companies of life, being led astray by others around us. We find ourselves at some time or the other in deep desperation, ready to do almost anything to survive. This young man found himself in that condition. He had nothing left. He had to survive. And so he attached himself to this citizen and he began to feed the swine. But look at what verse 16 says. Look at what verse 16 says. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. What a sad condition for this young man whose life was so good at home, who had all that he wanted. As a matter of fact, he left home with his pockets full, satisfied with what his father had given him as his share in life. But here he was now in this condition, feeding the pigs, and at a point where he was willing to eat the pigs' food. How far away had he gone? How far away had he drifted? Considering what his life was once like. And you know the sad part about that this evening, my friend, is we see it happening in our societies. We see it happening in our countries. We see it happening all over the world, over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. How that young man and young women, they've had the good standings in life. They've been brought to great points of life with their parents, have set good example. And unfortunately, in leaving home, getting involved, doing the wrong things, being in the wrong places at the wrong time, finding themselves destitute, nowhere to go, no friends, nothing to do, no home. In this case, this man, feeding with the swine. That is an indication to me, and it should be to you this evening, of the lowest point that a human being can sink in their lives. The lowest point that a young man or a young woman or an elderly man or woman can sink in their lives. To be classified as being willing to heat that which the swine had eaten. But oh, thank God. Thank God for a father. Thank God for a loving, caring, praying father. Are you one of those tonight? Are you one of those tonight? I trust you are. This young man, although he was away from home, although he was destitute, although he was at a point where he was willing to get in the pen with the pigs and eat their food, he had a father back home that loved him. A father back home that cared about him. A father back home that never forgot him. That always kept him on his prayer list, praying for that wayward son to return home. And now, this son, in his desperate condition of life, having sunk to the lowest point in his life, he remembers one thing, his father. Is that wonderful? He remembers his father. Notice what verse 17 says. And when he came to himself, you see, there comes a point in our lives when we have to come to ourselves. When we find ourselves in such desperate condition, we have to stop and consider our lives, consider where we are, consider the road that we're taking, consider where we're going, and think about that which is back home. That loving father, that loving mother. Scripture says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. You see, we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, he had that all set up. He knew exactly what he was going to say. He knew what he would have to say to his father and hope that his father would understand his condition and accept him back home, if not as a son, as one of his hired servants. But that wasn't the father's idea. That wasn't the father's idea. The scripture tells us in verse 20, and he arose and he came to his father. And this is the part that I like this in this passage of scripture above all else. He arose. He got up out of that pig pen. He got up and climbed out of that pig sty. He threw down all of that food and all that he was doing. He said, I'm going home. There's something better back home. And as he starts down the road, the scripture says, when he was yet a great way off, we don't know how far it is. When he was yet a great way off, who should be looking for him? The Father. Isn't that wonderful? The Father. And the thought came to my mind as I was studying this. I wonder just how many times did that Father step out of his yard and step into that road and look down yonder with heart yearning and longing. If only he could see that darling son of his coming back home. Perhaps he spent many long hours looking down that dusty road. Perhaps he saw strangers walking that road, and his heart began to pound. That's my son, he's coming home. But he got disappointed so many times. But this time, and the scripture says, it was something about him coming home. It was something about that walk. It was something about that person that he saw coming down to that road, and he could control himself no longer, the scripture says. And he didn't wait. He ran. He ran with open arms. Put his arms around that son. You can only begin to imagine what he must have looked like. You can only begin to imagine what he must have smelled like. But that father didn't care. That father's heart was filled with love and compassion for that son who had gone away. The son that he had yearned so long for. The son that he had looked down that road so many times for. And here he was. He didn't care. He just threw his arms around him. threw his arms around him and said, I love you, son. Welcome home. Welcome home, my son. What rejoicing. Oh, we can't begin to imagine this evening the feeling that that father must have had to see his son back home, to see his son alive. Now, he could have said many things to that son. He could have said, you look terrible, son. You're dirty. You smell like a pig. What happened to you? Where's all the money that I gave you? But no, the scripture doesn't say that he said anything of that nature. He loved him just as he was. He looked beyond his faults and saw his need. Isn't that wonderful? He looked beyond that young man's faults. He looked beyond the tattered clothes that he had on. He looked beyond the dirt that was probably over his body. But he looked beyond it all because there was his son. His son, the one that he loved. And I want you to notice response in verse 22. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. That robe is a sign of forgiveness. And covered, he covered his son standing before him and a sign of forgiveness. Then he says, put a ring on his hand. That ring is a sign of a bond of love forever. And then he says, and shoes on his feet. A sign of a bond of walking together forever. In other words, his son was home for good. His son was there to stay. He was covered with the robe, the ring of love on his finger, the shoes of togetherness on his feet. The bond would never be broken again. And then he said, kill the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf. Eat, be merry. A sign of permanent fellowship. A sign of permanent fellowship. Why? The answer is in verse 24. For this my son was dead. This my son was dead. And now he is alive. Lost and he is found. What a day. What a day of rejoicing that must have been to this father. To see his son again. To have him home. To hold him in his arms. To tell him that he loved him. To show how much he cared for him. What a wonderful time of rejoicing that was. That was the physical side. Tonight this story goes even deeper. This story goes even deeper. This story is a picture of those tonight, and you may be one of them in this service, who have gone away from the Heavenly Father. You've gone off into the world, and you're doing your thing. You're living your life. You're being who you want to be. You're walking the road that you choose. And you feel that your life is your home. The Heavenly Father has blessed you in so many ways, but yet tonight, as you sit in this service, you're still so far away from Him. You're as this young man that you just heard of. You've wasted your life. You're wasting your life. And some of you may be in here that's older. And you can say, I've wasted the years of my life by following the things of the world. Perhaps tonight you've lost your friends. Perhaps you've lost some members of your family. And perhaps tonight you're here and you're at a point of your life where you're desperate and you need someone to love you. You need someone to care about you. You need someone that's concerned about the condition of your life because you've tried everything in life. You've looked for happiness. You've looked for peace. You've looked for joy. You can't find it in anything that you've tried. Beloved, I stand there this evening to tell you that there is one who cares, that there is one who loves you more than that father loved his son. And that love was great. But that one tonight who loves you is Jesus Christ. He loves you more than anyone else in this world could possibly love you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Tonight he is willing to accept you just as you are. Irrespective of your condition in life. Irrespective of the state of your life. Irrespective of what you've been or what you've done. Or the status of your life even now, and you may be at the lowest ebb as this young man was, as he found himself willing to eat the pig food. You may be in that condition tonight where you're at a low state, a low ebb of your life, and you need help. You need Jesus Christ, my friend. I stand there this evening on the authority of God's word to tell you that even now, he's looking down the road. He's looking down the road. He's looking down that road for you to begin coming home. And he's been looking for a long time. He's been looking for a long time. His love for you has never changed. Although you've turned your back on him, and we all have. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we've all had our share of this. We can't point fingers at anybody. But thank God for those tonight who have come down to that road, who've come to Jesus Christ, who know him as their personal Savior. But if you're here tonight and you don't know him, you need to come. He's looking down that road for you. His love for you has never changed. He wants you to come home. Come home. We heard that song tonight, Supper Time. It was one of my favorite songs from when I was back a young boy. Actually, when I would hear it sung, it would bring tears to my eyes. But beloved, it's a beautiful song. And tonight, it's referring to you. Come home. The Lord Jesus loves you. Loves you more than a father, loves you more than a mother. He's waiting for you to come. Perhaps you are here tonight and you once was a child and you've drifted away. You've gotten away from God and from the things of God. You need to come home. You need to come home. Stop wandering. Stop wandering away from God. Turn around. Stop. Do as the young man did. Stop where you are and consider the Heavenly Father. Consider what he offers you tonight. He offers you a gift. The gift of God, salvation. I can't give it to you, but he can. He can change your life. He can turn your life completely around. He can make you into the man and the woman that he wants you to be. He can give you peace in your life that the world cannot give. He can give you a joy that passeth all understanding. But you will never find out what it's all about until you come to him and acknowledge him as your Savior. If you come to him, he will do as that father did. He will put his arms around you tonight and he will say, I love you. I forgive you. I will put my robe of righteousness upon you. I will put a ring of love upon your finger and you and I will walk together in sweet fellowship, not just for time, but for all eternity. Will you miss out on that? Will you miss out on that tonight? He wants you to come home. He wants you to trust him. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a wonderful Father's Day this would be for you to come home, for you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How happy would your parents be? How happy would your spouses be? How happy would your families be to come home to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as your Savior? It would be the greatest Father's Day that you'd ever known. But you have to realize this evening, my friends, that you need Jesus more than anything. You need him more than anything, as this young man did. He stood up. He made a decision. He came back to the Father's house. You have to do that on your own. Nobody can do it for you this evening. No one else can change your life. You have to come and let Jesus Christ change your life. And you can do that right now. Right where you are. Right where you are, you can bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Forgive me. Accept me. Make me as one of your children. And beloved, he will do that for you right now. He's waiting to welcome you home. So tonight as I close, why not surrender your life to Jesus Christ? If you do not know him as your Savior, this is the time. Perhaps he's speaking to your heart tonight. Perhaps there is a still small voice somewhere in your heart, in your mind, saying, now, now is the time to come home. Beloved, tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. And I don't believe in frightening people into accepting Jesus Christ, but I tell you a fact. The scripture says that we're not promised tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come, and it never will for many. And I trust that you're not one of those. Don't ever. And I beg of you, especially young people this evening, don't ever feel within yourselves that it can't happen to you, that you're too young, that you've got a lot of life to live, that you're going to have some good times. It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen beyond walking out that door there tonight. But I'll tell you one thing that you can know. You can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know with assurance that whatever happened, you will be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity. That will be worth it all. Oh, beloved, this evening, why not? Why not come home? Come to the Savior. He's waiting, watching, longing, looking for you to come. He will look beyond your faults, whatever they are. I don't know, but he knows. He will look beyond your faults and see your needs. And he will fill those needs tonight if you'll only come to him. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing a song. But before we do, I want each of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I feel that God is speaking to someone in this service this evening. And right where you are, you can accept him as your Savior. If you feel God's Spirit is speaking to you tonight and you'd like for me to remember you in prayer, with no one looking around, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Don't go out of this building tonight without accepting Christ as your Savior. Is there one? Oh, beloved, now is the opportunity of a lifetime. Now is the time that you can come to know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins. Is there one? Father, we have spoken the word that you've laid in our hearts. The seed has been sown. And Lord, we know that you will bring forth the fruit. We pray for each one that's in this service tonight, Lord. As we have looked at this story of this young man, how he wandered far away from home, came to a desperation point in life and realized that he needed to go back to the Father. I pray that if there are those in this building tonight, O God, that have wandered away from you, that are out there in sin, O God, may they realize that now is the opportunity, the golden time, to come to you,
to accept you as their Savior. Speak to hearts, we pray this evening, Lord. Oh God, may they surrender their lives to you, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to sing in closing, number 200 and